And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we're going to talk about a couple of different issues that have come up in the news, not the least of which is, here a new story, a bombshell, that Pope Francis has been asked to resign. Pope Francis has been asked to resign because of the controversy, the scandal now, in covering up Archbishop Theodore McGarrick's allegations of sexual abuse. There are claims that Pope Francis knew about the sanctions imposed on then Cardinal McGarrick by Pope Benedict XVI, but chose to repeal them. Now, yes, you can find that on InfoWars, but you can also find it at the New York Times. You can find it on CBS News. In fact, the New York Times headline here, Pope Francis in Ireland, live updates, call for resignation, further clouds visit. It was in Ireland years ago where they had a sex abuse priest scandal in Ireland that was very, very bad for the Catholic Church. I remember when I interviewed Dr. Ronald Cook years ago, Dr. Cook, who's from Northern Ireland, he said in the Catholic parts of Ireland, you would always see Catholic priests walking around in their robes and so on, all the different various orders in the Catholic Church in the southern parts of Ireland that were very Catholic. But he said after that scandal broke, because it was a scandal involving not only the priesthood, but also the police were involved in covering it up, what was going on as they were molesting these kids. And the people were so angered and outraged by it that the priests were fearful to walk around out on the street. And so he said the streets were just cleared. You no longer saw the priests walking around in their robes as you had before. Then CBS News, their headline, former Vatican official claims Pope Francis knew of abusive ex-cardinal calls for his resignation. So that is that's the mainstream headline. That's everybody's headline right now. That you've got an ex-Vatican ambassador says the sinful Pope should resign. Calls for Pope Francis to resign over the sex abuse scandal. And I mean, this everybody's known this has gone on for years. It's really gone on for centuries, if you know history. We talk a lot about the history of Rome, obviously, and her priesthood. I remind believers about what we're reading about in Revelation, where Revelation talks about Mystery Babylon, this harlot that rides the scarlet-colored beast, and she's got a cup in her hand that is full of her abominations. Now, just think about the sin of homosexuality in particular, because homosexuality and the abuse of these young children, typically boys, I mean, this is all, you've got headlines. You've got that very radical Catholic website, the Church Militant, talks about how the homosexual element in the Catholic priesthood has everything to do with these sex abuse scandals. And what does God say about homosexuality in the Bible? He calls it an abomination. And so now you've got the woman in Revelation 17, and she's got the cup in her hand full of her abominations. Now, it's important to say that in the Bible, homosexuality is called an abomination, but there are other things that are called an abomination as well. So, and of course, we believe there are many abominations that the Church of Rome is guilty of. But this one seems to surface over and over and over again throughout history, past and present. People need to recognize the sexual depravity, the moral depravity of the Roman priesthood was an important part of what brought about the Great Reformation, because people could see that the priesthood was utterly corrupt, and they were drunkards, they were immoral, etc. And then as they began to read the Bible and search for answers, they realized they had just utterly corrupted what Christianity was supposed to be. And calls for reform were the initial approach, but then when it became clear that Rome was not going to change, Rome was just arguing, hey, you do whatever we tell you to do no matter what, and that's what led to the Great Break, the Reformation. So Pope Francis is being asked to resign. With that, there is another story that we're going to focus on the Catholic Relief Services distributed U.S. food aid to Al-Qaeda jihadists in Syria. This is on Jihad Watch. Jihad Watch. Now, we've known and we've talked about how, I mean, if you go to the website refugeeresettlement.com, you go to that website, they talk about the very prominent role that the Catholic bishops and the Catholic Church plays in bringing Muslims into our country, these Muslim refugees, and then resettling them. And the thing to remember about that, whenever you hear these Catholic priests and bishops talk about it as a work of charity and this kind of thing, remember, they're not using their money, typically, to do this. They're not donating their own funds to help these so-called refugees. They're using American taxpayer money. Taxpayer money is what they're using to resettle these refugees. So that's important to keep in mind. Now, what's interesting is this Catholic Relief story preceded by just a couple of days, the story on the Pope being asked to resign. And here's what Robert Spencer says about this on Jihad Watch. He says, Catholic Relief Services distributed U.S. food, etc., to Al-Qaeda jihadists in Syria. And then Spencer says, why not? It's a religion of peace. Last September, the Pope met in the Vatican with Dr. Mohammed bin Abdul Karim al-Issa, the Secretary General of the Muslim World League, a group that has been linked to the financing of jihad terror. During the meeting, al-Issa, thanked the Pope for his, quote, fair positions on what he called the false claims that link extremism and violence to Islam. Ahmed al-Tayeb, the Grand Imam of Cairo's Al-Azhar, has also thanked Francis for his defense of Islam against the accusation of violence and terrorism. And it goes on, says Pope Francis has proclaimed that, quote, authentic Islam and the proper understanding of the Quran reject every form of violence. This is what Pope Francis has said. Doing his bit to ensure that as many Christians as possible would remain ignorant and complacent about the jihad threat that his precious dialogue does nothing to mitigate. Then Spencer says, quote, Pope Francis is a disgrace to the Catholic Church, to Judeo-Christian civilization, and to the free world. Well said by Robert Spencer. Well said by Robert Spencer. And remember, Spencer himself is a Catholic. He's actually a Melkite Catholic. He is the Melkite Greek Catholic Church. This is what Robert Spencer is a part of, according to his bio. So you can't really, it's Greek Orthodox, but it is Catholic, the Melkite Catholic Church, and it is said to be in communion with the Holy See in Rome. So it's not Roman Catholic, it's Greek Catholic, but it is linked directly to the Church of Rome. So it is still significant that Robert Spencer is discerning enough. He's not just going to check his brain at the door because the Pope says something. He recognizes that what Pope Francis is saying is disgraceful for the entire Christian world. I mean, he doesn't even seem to make any attempts to denounce Islam or to oppose or confront Islam on behalf of Catholics who are suffering, who are being raped and enslaved and murdered by Muslims in different parts of the world. I mean, that's the marvel of all this. It's part of the reason why I started doing the research into the connections with Nazism and Islam back during World War II. Because what's going on doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. You can't figure it out. But then once you realize that you've got powers within the socialist world that want to see Christianity, any form of Christianity, overthrown and quite probably replaced with Islam. And I honestly believe that this whole sex abuse, pedophilia issue is one of the reasons why. In Islam, they fully support pedophilia. Islam has normalized pedophilia, not just the molestation of young girls, but also of young boys. Because you've got passages in the Quran that talk about young boys as pearls in paradise and this kind of thing. And the molestation of young boys, this is part of the Islamic world and has been for centuries. Centuries. This is why we had one of our soldiers, a Green Beret, who found out about an Islamic police captain or police chief who was molesting a young boy, and he pushed him. Some of you will remember this story. Pushed him, knocked him down when he found out about it, and then ended up being reprimanded by the Obama administration. Okay? I believe that part of the reason why the globalists want to normalize Islam and bring Islam into the Western world is in part to normalize pedophilia. I believe this is part of their plan, and we're seeing it in other areas of society as they are trying to move forward the pedophile agenda. And if we end up with another Obama-type president in the future, it is almost certain that that will be something that will become more fully represented politically. And that'll become another political issue for the radical left. They'll be pushing that openly. They're already laying the groundwork for it. I mean, the groundwork really has been laid going back to Alfred Kinsey. And you see our film, The Kinsey Syndrome, you can see why Matt Barber made that required viewing at Liberty Law School for a time. I don't know if it still is, but it used to be required viewing. Because this whole sexual pervert agenda is this is the undercurrent driving globalism. It's the undercurrent driving globalism. And I just did an interview. I was going to talk about this probably after the break, but I'll mention it briefly. I did an interview with Herb Titus, who's the Harvard-trained Christian lawyer, one of the founding dean of the Regent University Law School. Anyway, interviewed him over the Constitution, the history of it, the biblical history of our country. And while I was talking to him, somehow or other, the issue of the LGBT movement came up, and he talked about, he said this whole, because he's apparently working on some kind of brief or some kind of legal documentation to try and oppose something that the LGBT movement is trying to do. And he says, this is just it's what's driving so much of the left right now. Is their sexual perversion. And I think about what Jesus said of the Pharisees when he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father will ye do. And that's what the wicked on the left are pursuing. These wicked globalists, that is what they are pursuing. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We will talk more when we come back right after this.
Christian Film Ministry, Adalam Films presents A Lamp in the Dark, the untold history of the Bible. Enter into a world of saints and martyrs battling spies, assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I also knew, living in Memphis on the New Madrin Fault, that there is the possibility of an earthquake. I also know that ice storms can cause the power to go out here, not to mention the threat of terrorism. There were many reasons. So I contacted the company Mountain House and asked if I could become a distributor of their product. I had some of their food when I was in high school on a couple camping trips, and it's really good. But now Worldview Weekend has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. We have one pack that's available. It's a bucket of food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 14 days for one person. Figure out how many are in your family. Figure out how many days you want to have food ready to be put into boiling hot water and have a good meal, and make your order. Now, again, you can order it from someone else, but if you order it from Worldview Weekend, we're not going to charge any shipping and handling. Free shipping and handling. Secondly, it's another way for us to generate revenue to underwrite the expenses of running Worldview Weekend, our radio and television ministry, and our free conference ministry. For more details, just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
Okay, we are back. Praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. Right before we went to the break, I talked about my trip last week to Virginia Beach, to interview Herbert W. Titus, for our upcoming film on the true Christian history of America. For those of you who prayed for us, thank you. Everything went very well. I had a safe journey getting there, and the interview went very, very well with Herb Titus. He did a great job, and lots of very powerful, detailed information. And from somebody who has spent years of his life practicing law and arguing law from a biblical perspective. So I think it's going to be a very, very powerful addition to the new film. So we appreciate your continued prayers in that, and we appreciate your support, those of you who supported us and continue to make it possible for us to produce these films that are seen all over the world. And whether you support us online, whether you support us with getting our DVDs, whether you get our audio CDs, all of that, those resources are there to help people understand what's going on, to understand things from a biblical worldview, also from a prophetic worldview. We're going to be working on a new audio CD about the Reformers' view of Islam through the lens of Revelation chapter 9. This information is very, very powerful. And I want to go ahead and do an audio CD on that in the not too distant future. Because when you see the details, they had all this detailed knowledge about Islam, and they're making these arguments prior to the 20th century somehow or other. Although there are people out there who still make the argument that Islam is the fulfillment of the locusts from Revelation chapter 9. And the locusts have no king in Proverbs, but here these locusts, which are obviously not literal, but are a metaphor for something else, these locusts have a king, the angel of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, or Abaddon, whose name means destroyer. And there's lots of powerful information about Muhammad, the prophet Muhammad, and about Islam really just going forth and invading all these different countries and just making a wreck and a destruction and a ruin of so many different countries and civilizations and so on. And historians, Christian historians who have written about this in the past, they say it's what happened is so overwhelming that it's a marvel that Islam spread so quickly and that you can't really understand it unless you realize that it's the fulfillment of prophecy, that there are demonic powers driving Islam and empowering Islam. And, you know, this whole association of them, the details of it, the association of Islam with the locusts and tracing it back to ancient Egypt, how when the locusts were brought into Egypt, it was the east wind that brought them, because typically it was thought the locusts were in Arabia, and then the east wind would blow them in from Arabia. So you have this whole relationship, and there's a detailed history about the Arabs using the locusts as a symbol and things like that. Very, very powerful. And with that note, on that note, most Christians are familiar with this very common reference from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14 that reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now that's verse 14. But if you go to verse 13 and you read what God says in verse 13, where he says, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, etc. Then it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, etc. So in other words, the context is that if a country is facing judgment from God, if God sends the locusts into your country to overwhelm your country, and if then the people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, etc. But that's such to me when I saw that, especially after all this research on Islam and the locusts and so on, and I saw that, and you look at what's happening with the immigration issue. Just go online, brethren, and go look at video of wild locusts overwhelming a field, like a crop field in the Middle East or in Africa or somewhere, in these other countries where it happens. I mean, it's overwhelming. And then go and look at the immigration flood. Go look at the video of the thousands and thousands and thousands of Muslim immigrants that are coming from the Middle East and North Africa and so on, and flooding into all of these Western European countries in particular. Could it be said that they're being overwhelmed by the locusts of Revelation chapter 9? Could that very well be the case? And it's important to remember the one thing that Luther said about Islam that Christians in the West, he said, need to remember is that Islam comes as the instrument of God's judgment, and that you're not going to be able to defeat this unless, he said, the people humble themselves and repent of their sins and seek the Lord, and God will grant them victory. That's what Luther said centuries ago about Islam, because the threat of Islam invading the Western world was very real. And right now, it's real yet again, in a different way. It's real yet again in a different way. And what we're seeing is we're seeing the leaders of the Western world really systematically betraying Christianity. And you've got Christians and patriots and people rushing around trying to figure out how to deal with this situation, what to do. But I agree with Luther. I agree with the biblical view. I agree with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, that we need to humble ourselves, we need to pray, we need to seek the Lord, turn from our wicked ways if we have any, and certainly at a national level. We've got to preach repentance from this wickedness that they're trying to normalize every day, and pray that God will hear us from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. Yes, I believe that's very possible. And I would hope that the believers in Western Europe would hearken to this, would consider it, and would cry out to God and pray, because they're in a much worse condition than we are. But nevertheless, what's happening there is a warning to us. And it's very interesting. This is a centuries-old warning. The Reformers wrote about this, and they made it very, very clear. I mean, because you really had two positions. You had the papal view, which at that time was simply to send out armed men to fight against the Muslims. And Luther said, before you do that, remember, and he was pointing people to the scripture. He pointed to the story of Joshua, when Joshua sent the men of Israel to take the city of Ai, the little city of Ai, but they had sin in their camp. And he basically said, look, you don't want to go into battle in a sinful condition. You want to repent, you want to get right with God, and then you want to go into battle. Because if you do it the other way, you can be defeated by your enemies. But if we humble ourselves, seek the Lord, seek His forgiveness, then we can stand in the day of battle and prevail. God will grant us victory if we humble ourselves. So that was the interesting contrast. Of course, now centuries later, you've got the Pope cooperating with the Muslim world. It's a very different dynamic. All right, brethren, we are out of time. That's going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.